Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The praise belongs to Jesus. It's all His. For on this holy day in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It's just as the psalmist sang, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, praise Him, and stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel." It is you, my dear friends in Christ, you who have heard before and even today the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus into Jerusalem, how the crowds gathered to see Him as they spread their robes and cloaks upon the road, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem was the near culmination of His birth, life, teaching, and prophecy that, yes, He would indeed go to Jerusalem and He would die. And we now know that these same crowds, later in this week of our Lord's Passion, they'd hide. They'd hide and seek out dark places out of fear for their own lives. They would even deny Him, the true King of Glory. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." You and I, we know that it was God's plan all along to save us from a certain death and condemnation. In His bountiful mercy, God had planned from the very beginning our salvation from the hands of Satan in the pits of hell. That the enmity, remember that from Genesis 3:15, God had sworn to the serpent for deceiving His perfect creation in the garden, has now ridden on the back of the young donkey into the city where our Lord would suffer and die. He would suffer and die for me, for you, for all of mankind. For as the Apostle John wrote here today for us to hear, "They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." And that's the case for me and you. It is and has been since the fall in the Garden of Eden, man's inclination to do for himself what he thinks that God just can't possibly do it. I have to do it. And that in itself is a lack of faith. And it's an insult to God's command that we shall have no other gods, because we place ourselves in the place of God, thinking we can handle it, we can do it. You know, it's just the opposite of what the Greeks said in our gospel text today. They said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." We've become accustomed to praising ourselves for I've become a better person, for acquiring more possessions, for being able to love more, or just that by myself I've attained more power than God has. Because we don't want to see Jesus. We don't. To see Jesus means death. It means we must give up all we have and follow Him. It means, as we've come to believe, it's a hard, difficult way of doing things, isn't it? And we don't want things difficult or hard to do. We like things the easier, softer way. Why? Even being an LCMS Lutheran is considered too difficult a thing to do. I beg you to consider what it is that Jesus has done for you. It wasn't an easy task, riding victoriously into Jerusalem like he did, being hailed as the King of the Jews, and knowing all too well what the will of God was, that in a few short days he would willingly bear our griefs, carry our sorrows, become smitten by his Father and afflicted. It wasn't a tough situation that required some fast thinking, nor was there enough time after entering into this beloved city of God to dodge the ultimate verdict of guilt, no wriggling an extension of his sentence. There was no higher court to appeal to. And as the prophet Isaiah had said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had the occasion to have a workman in my house doing some things. I was there and he asked me, "Mr. Brinker, what sort of work do you do?" I told him, "Well, I'm the pastor of Zion Lutheran Church up here in town." He asked me, he goes, "That's LCMS, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, it is, but how did he know that?" Because I knew where this was going. Well, he had been born and raised in a Lutheran church, baptized, confirmed, lifelong, his chest puffed up. Lifelong, I've been a Lutheran. Then he said that after his parents had passed away, he sought out a church where he'd feel a bit more comfortable, where he'd feel, and I quote, "more comfortable," is what he said. I said, "Of course you did. Our church isn't very comfortable." "It isn't, you know." But this workman said he chose to go to a different sort of Christian church. I knew which one he was talking about. Because he went there because he felt more at ease when he went there. I said, "Of course you did." He went on to assure me that the minister at his church spoke a good, comforting message, strictly from the Bible. And of course, he probably does. But I even asked him straight out. I said, "Did they have anything, do you have anything like confession and absolution at your church?" He said, "No, not in the 20 plus years I've been going there if we had to do anything like that." So I thought to myself, yeah, an easier, softer way than having to confess one's wrong and giving the praise to Jesus instead of oneself, and keeping all that glory and all that praise for yourself and for your good works. That's why here in the Lutheran Church, we speak often about works righteousness, don't we? For to herald oneself victorious denies Jesus' work for you upon the cross. For to lift yourself up, patting yourself on the back and swelling your chest and even just thinking that you're the best there is, without giving the praise and thanksgiving to Jesus, is to swipe away the glory from whom it's rightfully due. Why, for the very same reason, there's many families have been torn apart because, well, it's easier to walk away. It's easier to avoid or deny than it is to say that you're sorry, or to confess that you've done wrong, or to forgive someone else for something they did. We like our grudges, don't we? We like them. We keep them. We hang on to them. The mere thought that you can do anything, let alone your salvation, without Jesus is to contradict the vow that you made at both your baptism and your confirmation. Okay? I quote, "Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?" Then answered, "I do by the grace of God." The praise belongs to Jesus, not to me, not to you. Our glorification comes by the Holy Spirit, for we know that those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The glorification, our glorification, comes at the expense of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory and righteousness that we obtain belongs only to Christ. And it comes to us in our baptisms and by the working of the Holy Spirit, not by anything that I do or you do. For heaven's sake, even that workman at my house, he was even proud that he had to get rebaptized in his new church. Totally unnecessary and even sacrilegious. So yes, being an LCMS Lutheran is hard. Yes, being a Christian is a hard thing to do. King David knew it was a difficult thing to do. He prayed to God. He said, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." The book of Proverbs proclaims that whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's what the Bible says. And then in his first epistle, St. John wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." 1 John 1 verses 9 through 10. That's why it's hard to be a Lutheran. Confession. That's why it's truly hard to be a Christian. It's easier to keep the praise and the glory for yourself than to give it all to Jesus. Think about it like this. Adam, the first man, he lied right to the face of God. He walked with God, and yet he lied to him, and he blamed somebody else for his sin. It hasn't changed. And then for the lack of omission, or the lack of his confession, rather, Adam bore the iniquity of his sin. He now had to work hard. He had to work hard so that he and his wife could survive, so that they could eat. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, praise, and glory forever and ever. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 17. That's all from the Bible. It's a message of comfort to you for your aching souls, to calm your tired and worn out self from all the difficulties of this life. That in Jesus and his entering into Jerusalem to endure his passion, that all of his suffering, his death and resurrection, that in him is due praise and glory for having won for you the forgiveness of your sins and life everlasting. For doing those things for which we cannot do for ourselves, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.